Almost 100 years ago, Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Ubi Arcano Dei Concilio, wrote the following. The inspired words of the prophets seem to have been written expressly for our own times. We looked for peace and no good came, for a time of healing and behold fear, for the time of healing and behold trouble. Jeremiah 8:15, Jeremiah 14:19. We looked for light and behold darkness. We have looked for judgment and there is none, for salvation and it is far from us. Isaiah 59:9-11. A bleak description indeed, one that has currently gripped our hearts, even in this age. And even though that was written 100 years ago, how interesting it is that that was written even far back in history than that, and still facing problems, still facing evil. But the end result, of course, is for us not to keel over and surrender. The solution is tied in living out the great feast in which we celebrate today. 3 years later, Pope Pius XI issued forth another encyclical by the name of Quas Primas, in which he spoke about instituting this great feast, where we recognize Jesus Christ as King. In there, he explained that the existence of such evils in this world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives. That these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. As long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. Men must look for the peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. It's something that we have to even ask ourselves. It would certainly be joyous to assume that de facto, by the very fact that we are here, that we regard Jesus as King. But do we really assent to that belief? Is that something that we believe in our heart of hearts so much so that everything that we do is governed by that reality? Not too long ago, one of the professors of Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, Dr. Ralph Martin, who is also leading the Renewal Ministries and various other initiatives, he said, many people who come to church are coming with the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God, but coming with the mind of the world and the spirit of the age. And that is why we are failing. That is why we are losing ground. Why we struggle to find and hold on to supernatural faith, supernatural hope. We find ourselves discouraged by all the news reports that are being displayed about our church, all the confusion that is being sown, is causing us even to question, why should I remain? Why should I be here? So to have the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God, it's necessary for us to soak in the very Word of God. So oftentimes we are interested instead about those things which are trending, those things that receive the most likes. That is what we spend our time with. At least more time with that than with Scripture, than in prayer. And in that way, it shapes our minds, it shapes our viewpoints, it shapes our perception of this world. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves being filled with that dread, being filled with that fear, so much so that no matter what might come our way in terms of our faith, it seems that it is not enough. But if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He is King, if He is Lord, if He is the one that indeed is the one that will bring us out of this stuff, this chaos, this craziness, then we have to pursue Him with everything that we have. We must. Or else everything else in this world will influence us, will take us over, we'll be filled with the mind of the world and the spirit of the age. And so in thinking about the Holy Word of God, and on this feast day we celebrate as Jesus is King, I want to share with you various scripture passages so that we may take all those things to heart. And instead of filling our minds with everything else that's going on in this world, that we fill our minds instead with the Word of God that speaks the truth to us, that gives us the message that we need. That if we spend time in prayer with these particular passages, that has been written and spoken to us by the Holy Spirit for our edification, for our help, for our need, for this time, it is there that we will find the hope. It is there that we will build up our faith so as not to endure, but then even to press on forward into the attack. In the Bible, it foretold of the coming of a great king who would usher in peace. Psalm 71 or 72, depending on your translation, in his days shall justice spring up, an abundance of peace, and he shall rule from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. His enemies shall lick the ground. All kings of the earth shall adore him. All nations shall serve him. And with Advent this coming week, we will be remembering the words of the prophet Isaiah. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God the Mighty, the Father of the world to come, the Prince of Peace. His empire shall be multiplied, and there shall be no end of peace. He shall sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and strengthen it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. Daniel also prophesied the enduring quality of the kingdom. But in the days of those kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be delivered up to another people. Daniel 2, 44. And this coming of the king would therefore be the fulfillment of all prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king will come to thee, the just and Savior. He is poor and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9:9 reminds us that before our Lord Jesus entered into his passion, he came upon a donkey into Jerusalem. It, of course, culminates in the appearance of the archangel Gabriel to Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1, 32 to 33. And while her son's parables and actions, everything in which he did, indicated that he is truly a king, he makes it quite clear various times, especially in the dialogue we find with Pontius Pilate. Pilate therefore said to him in John 18, 37, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." What we celebrate this day is not the solemnity of Jesus a king, or Jesus Christ the Catholic monarch, but the solemnity of Jesus Christ the King of the universe, to identify the fact that Jesus is truly Lord of all. Pope Pius XI stated, "The empire of our Redeemer embraces all men." To use the words of our immortal predecessor, Pope Leo XIII, "His empire includes not only Catholic nations, not only baptized persons who have been led astray by error or have been cut off from her by schism, but also all those who are outside the Christian faith, so that truly the whole of mankind is subject to the power of Jesus Christ. All men, whether collectively or individually, are under the dominion of Christ. In him is the salvation of the individual. In him is the salvation of society. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. "He is the author of happiness and true prosperity for every man and for every nation." So whenever we struggle, we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus king? king of my life, king of what I do, king of my thoughts, of what I hope for in life, of what I plan, of my future. When that doesn't happen, that's how we lose the peace of Christ. How all of a sudden the powers of the world are winning. This leads to desperation, thinking I can't go on in the faith. Seeds of doubt begin to grow out the weeds in our lives, begin to choke out that which is good therein. So we ask, is Jesus Lord of my life? Scripture points to him in that way. His resurrection from the dead, the testimony of the apostles, the death of the martyrs, all indicate that this is real. His dominion isn't just broad, it's also specific. It's very individual. It matters not if Jesus Christ is the king of the universe if he is not king of my own life. He is our rightful king, whose ascendancy to the throne was not done by simple voting, or was not done because, you know, he was just part of the bloodline. It was paid by the price of his blood. Blood that was shed for you and for me. How do we make sure everything is oriented toward Christ? With all the things in which we have in our possession, our abilities, our faculties, what does that look like? Pope Pius XI expressed, "If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God. The trouble, the chaos, the crazy is not going to stop. And while this too shall pass, there will always be something that will be pulling us away from God, pulling us more toward the world, pulling us more towards doubt and fear and anxiety. But if we believe, truly believe, that God's spoken word to us is real, is alive, is charged with the Holy Spirit, then we need to cast aside all of that doubt, all of that worldly wisdom, all of the things that are pointing us elsewhere, and profess, Jesus, you are my king. Take the reins of my heart. Lead me, show me the way. For in you, I will have my peace. So my friends, we don't abandon ship. We don't leave the faith. We don't leave the church. We stay and we reform the church. We work toward holiness. We work toward sanctity. We follow the footsteps, for example, of St. Catherine of Siena, who by her example, by her words, was able to get the Pope to stop messing around and going to Avignon, France, and say, get back to Rome. Do what you need to do. Or like St. Francis of Assisi, who reformed the way of life for clergy and religious. St. Teresa of Avila, who worked to return the cloister life back to its simplicity and poverty. It's about fighting for the King and winning souls back to Jesus. This is where we will find peace.